Thanks for joining this week's episode of Church Talk. Today we're going to be talking about one of the challenges of discipleship, or one of the problems with discipleship. And I think one of the first big problems is many people don't understand the definition of what a disciple is. And so to break that down, I think we really have to break down what a disciple, the definition of a disciple. And so in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus is talking to Simon Peter and talking to Andrew, these two brothers who are out fishing right now. And so he says to them, he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So he kind of gives a three-part definition here of what a disciple is, and it's head, heart, hands to kind of remember it. So he says, "Follow me," and it's this head knowledge of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for you. You have to understand why is the gospel good news. It's understanding that in your head. So Jesus, he died and he rose again, and he said, "Repent and believe," to his disciples. "Follow me," he said. And so he took on that sin, and he took on that guilt and that shame, so that we may repent and believe. And then he says to these fishermen here, he says, "I will make you." And so here's the heart change of Peter and Simon, or of Peter and Andrew, and of ourselves as well as Christians. And it's a lifestyle change. It's not just a a thought change or an attitude change. It's a lifestyle transformation. 2 Corinthians tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. It says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, like, that's where the change is going to happen. And that's the ripening of a believer. That's the result of Christ in a person's life. And so I think there's a lack of clarity, really. First and foremost, there's a lack of clarity in what a disciple is. And then lastly, in that definition that Jesus gives us from Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 19, he says, "fishers of men." So he's, saying, you gotta know what I've done for you. You gotta let me change your heart, and then I'm gonna make you fishers of men. And it's fulfilling that great commission of Matthew chapter 28 in verses 18 through 20, where Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then we often neglect as a church verse 20, and verse 20 says, "Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you, and remember, I'm with you to the end of the age." And so we oftentimes neglect that last part of that command there of teaching. We want to make church members. We want to make we want to just fill in these church pews, these church seats. And that's awesome. You know, numbers mean that people are getting reached. But what good is that if we aren't teaching them all that Christ has commanded us? That's the big thing there. That's what really matters. And another thing too is, I think there's an imprecise vocabulary embedded in the word disciple. And it's kind of a trap. Because disciple can mean different things in different contexts. And sometimes it can identify someone in the crowd simply following Jesus without any sense of commitment in Matthew 8, verse 21. And it may even designate a category of persons rather than a given individual. And we see that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, where he says, "The student is not above the teacher, nor servant above his master." The students are supposed to be like the teachers, and the servants are to be like their masters. And then he, in many cases also, it points to students who follow a rabbi to learn. And in Matthew 15 and verse 2, he says, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't want to wash their hands before they eat. And then later in the Gospels, it refers to Jesus' co-laborers. That's you and that's me and that's every believer. We're Jesus' co-laborers. And Matthew 15 and verses 32 through 36, Jesus is calling his disciples to himself, and he's saying, you know, I have compassion for these people. These people have been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And he's saying, I don't want to send them away hungry or they're not going to make it. and then his disciples are here and they're saying, hey, we can get enough food for everybody to eat. So it's coming along and building people up for the kingdom purposes. And it's making disciples who can make disciples and taking care of the flock. And I think that the terms believer and disciple are it's not on purpose, but the term believer and disciple is thoughtlessly kind of thrown out there in most of Christian literature, and I think it can lead to serious error in soteriology, and it kind of radiates out into ineffective and unhelpful approaches to discipleship. And in John 8, verse 30 through 32, Jesus is speaking, and many is believing in Jesus. The Jews believed in him, and Jesus said, you know, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then he says, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. And it's, I think that's what sets a disciple apart from a believer. A disciple is going to know the truth. A disciple is going to hold on to that truth. Versus a believer, they're just gonna believe. You know, in James, even the demons believe, and they shudder, they tremble at the name of Jesus. And so, you know, what are the next steps from here? You know, I think we need to journey toward a more effective disciple-making process. And it begins with a few steps, a couple of steps. And I think, you know, the first step here is to acknowledge what Jesus says in his teachings. And that's kind of what we're going to go through. We're going to go through what Jesus says, what makes a disciple a disciple. And then even go into Jesus' discipleship process. And there are several important texts in which Jesus says something like, if you want to be my disciple, you must do this, or my disciples cannot do that, or even Jesus says, this is how my disciples are recognized. And I think as we do that, I want us to pay attention to what Jesus says in each of these texts about what disciples know, what disciples are like, and what disciples do. And it all goes back to what I said earlier with head, heart, and hands. It's that definition of a disciple. It's knowing, letting Jesus change you, and then going out and making disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So we want to find faithful men and women to teach, so that they can teach other faithful men and women. And then finally, you know, I want us to kind of reflect on what kinds of learning experiences tend to produce, you know, qualities in God's people. You know, let's think back to periods of time when we had our greatest spiritual growth. You know, what was going on in our lives? What was going on around our lives during those times? And think back to who, if anyone, played a role in your spiritual progress. You know, what information was, or what experience was of greater significance to you. And, you know, I think the discipleship process must begin there. Just looking at what Jesus said, what a disciple is, and how a disciple should live. Because Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he says that Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. And so in order to be a disciple, we must be a Talmudim. And that's a word that means student or learner. Constantly learning in our walk, constantly knowing that we can be better, we can be a better student. Because, you know, if we look at the New Testament, in the New Testament, a disciple often entered into a master and apprentice type relationship with his teacher. And so it's wanting to imitate his life, to come under this mentor's wisdom and skills to kind of be like him. And that's how we're supposed to be with Christ. And so I just challenge you as I kind of end this podcast here. Just wanted this one to be short and kind of understand and wrap our mind around what a disciple is and kind of get your mind rolling with what are problems with discipleship today. And then next time we're going to actually dive into biblical text of what kind of character qualities a disciple is supposed to have and how they're supposed to be set apart. But to kind of challenge you, into being a disciple and into discipleship, find somebody to mentor you, find a group to mentor you, and be committed. You've heard this before, you get out of it what you put into it. So, with that mentor, with that group, show up and be authentic. Number two, don't attempt to try to make yourself look better, to try to make yourself look more spiritual, more solid, whatever, than you really are. Because no one really benefits out of that kind of dishonesty. You don't really, you know, in a discipleship group, you don't need to share your deepest secrets, but you want to be a truth teller, even if the truth is hard or ugly. You want to be transparent and vulnerable, because that can set the tone for the entire group. Be that person. Be authentic. Be yourself. Be you. And be trustworthy. Make that one-on-one or that group time a safe place. We've heard of the Vegas philosophy. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So what happens in that time of discipleship stays in that time of discipleship. Don't go and gossip and blab the secrets of others, because you can ruin that relationship. You can ruin that mentorship. And then be realistic. You know, groups and people, they're not heaven on earth. You're not going to click with whoever right away if it's a group. And maybe even the first couple of times meeting with your mentor, you're not going to click. You know, there's going to be some times where discussions are going to drag. And you'll come away with more questions than you had when you showed up. And that's okay. Because we need to remember that discipleship is a lifelong process. It's not a 8-week or a 30-week or a 52-week program. I want you to hang in there because this is a race. This is a marathon. And so you need to find those people who will be able to run with you and lift you up. And then be prayerful. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, in John 15:5. And so without the presence of Christ, your group is just going to be a mere meeting. It's not going to be spirit-filled. But if we make it a time where the spirit of faith and surrender is there, you're going to submit to the infinite power of God. And who knows what might happen if you do that. So I just want to challenge you from here. Like, be willing to be open with each other. Be willing to want to learn about each other and learn about Jesus. Learn about the set of behaviors. Learn about the knowledge of Christ. And let's see discipleship kind of revamp. And let's make other disciples. So tune in next time. We're gonna dive into biblical text of what a discipleship is and or what a disciple is and kind of that discipleship process from here. So thanks for listening. And looking forward to next time.